In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout my life, there has been something that has often irritated me about Christians. I suppose in some way, it cannot be helped because we all strive to live our sanctified lives for Christ. But frankly, many Christians often come off as looking down at the rest of the world. You know that holier-than-thou attitude, which gives people the impression that Christians think they've reached some level of righteousness or behavior, of living that is a cut above everybody else. It's not just about striving to live an upright life. I understand that, and I'm working at that myself, as I'm sure you are as well. It's about giving those around us the impression that we've reached a higher level of righteous living than they have and deserve acknowledgement not only from them but from God as well. I am certain that that is an attitude that has irritated many other people than just me. In fact, I believe I have some truth, some proof. Not long ago, once again, I pulled up at a stoplight behind a car that had that somewhat now old but familiar bumper sticker that clearly declared to the world, Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. Whoever designed that bumper sticker knew exactly what I'm talking about. Every human being on this earth is equal in their sin. We are equally broken, and our sins, whether they are hidden or obvious, are equally slimy and reprehensible and deserving condemnation, whether we label ourselves with the title Christian or not. And I pray, quite often in fact, that I never give anybody else the impression that I somehow think I'm better than anyone else, or as a Christian, I have the ability to live in a way that is more God-pleasing than anyone else on my own terms, or on my own ability. I'm just as broken and sinful as every other human being. I need this hospital to come to that we call a church, to receive the same treatment from law and gospel in word and sacrament that every other sinner who comes here is seeking. What bothers me about this clearly also bothered Jesus in our text for this evening. Jesus had opportunity as his path crossed with a tax collector whom he wished to make his disciple to also teach the Pharisees a very profound lesson. He not only called Matthew in these verses to leave his booth and work in his kingdom, he also joined Matthew in a celebration supper, a banquet of sorts, to which Matthew's friends, the other sinners from the outskirts of the community, were invited. Community lowlifes who were considered just as sinful and reprehensible as Matthew. And the Pharisees were outraged. Listen to their words again. They asked Jesus' disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Were the Pharisees perhaps a little jealous that this powerful, profound preacher who worked miracles and attracted huge crowds to himself was not willing to acknowledge their special gift to society by their righteous living and they're following God's laws and they're being more moral and ethical than everyone else? Jesus had pointed out to them often, and he did it again here very clearly, that they already thought of themselves as healthy and whole and not needing him. But he also revealed that their hatred towards others betrayed just how broken they truly also were. And that's why Jesus tried so simply with these verses to lead them to a profound conclusion. That while they thought of themselves as better than everyone else, that some of them even thought of themselves as morally perfect, Jesus only calls sinners to work in his kingdom. Jesus didn't come into the world to find and gather the whole and the healthy, the perfect. He came to rescue the broken and despairing. Jesus didn't come to shun anyone. He came to pay the price for every human sin and apply the perfection, the holiness of his righteous, obedient life to the broken, hurting, hell-bound soul of every human being. Jesus knew best how to attract the attention of sinners. And it wasn't standing on a pedestal, looking down at it, preaching at a world to which he could be the only one who could truly say, I am better than all of you and you need to be like me. No, Jesus knew that his mission, his purpose, his method was and had to be just the opposite. To roll up his sleeves and to get down into trenches and sweat and bleed and die while doing battle against temptation and sin and every element of human brokenness while he remained perfect, so that in weaving together that life of perfection and obedience, he would have the perfect payment price that Paul spoke about in our Romans lesson for tonight. He died for our sins. He was raised again for our justification. His being raised proves that God accepted the payment price on our behalf. It is our receipt from God that it all has been done and paid for. Jesus got sweaty and dirty down in the trenches, rubbing elbows with the worst sinners of the world, and not just on this occasion. Matthew had to have wondered, how is it that Jesus is choosing me? How is it that Jesus is sitting at my table with my friends, with all of these other sinners who are just as condemned by the world as Matthew was? Matthew had to have been expecting that Jesus was going to treat him just like everyone else. As a tax collector, he was shunned and despised. He was seen as something of a maggot or a leech, bleeding off the welfare and the wealth of his own people as part of a voluntary involvement in the onerous taxation of the oppressive Roman regime. Everyone else treated him like a loser, a traitor. Matthew was left with no doubt by the people around him that he was a sinner, someone to be avoided, someone to be looked down upon, but not by Jesus. Neither Matthew nor all of his sinful friends heard one ounce of judgment from Jesus. Jesus only spoke gospel to them. That's because they already knew and acknowledged that they were broken sinners. They did not even pretend to believe that they belonged amongst the good people who kept them at arm's length. They stayed where they were pushed, out on the outer edge of society. And to them, Jesus spoke gospel. To them, Jesus offered forgiveness and an amazing invitation with no strings attached, to live with him forever in heaven, and to live for him every moment the rest of their lives. In other words, Jesus was inviting them here to be his disciples. And Jesus made it abundantly clear that only sinners like them needed to apply. He wanted them working for him in his kingdom. Matthew, in these verses, was called to public ministry, to be one of the 12, one of those specially chosen by Jesus and sent out, and he would even be blessed by God to be one of the eventual gospel writers. But all those other sinners gathered at that banquet that evening were also welcomed and invited, called by Jesus, to be workers in his kingdom by going back to their lives the next day and taking up their responsibilities, but now living for Christ in thankfulness and love and putting away their sinful attitudes. They were being called to be disciples who lived for and served Christ for the rest of their lives by simply living his word and sharing it with others. How often have you and I let ourselves off the hook? When we were being tempted, when we were being challenged in our living for Christ, or we were staring an opportunity in the face to share his love and his forgiveness with others. In other words, working in his kingdom by thinking to ourselves, I'm not worthy of this. I'm too much of a sinner. Matthew and every other sinner sitting around that table that evening could have had that very same reaction. But Jesus called every one of them in the very same way that he calls every one of us. Because Jesus knows what we really are. We hide nothing from him, so there is no use pretending. At our core, by nature, every one of us is just as vile a sinner as we were the moment we were conceived, the day we were born. The difference now is through faith, through the Word, being called to faith, being led by the Holy Spirit to trust in Jesus Christ, he also lives in us every day, challenging that old sinner inside of us to repent, to back down, to put off the pleasures and pursuits of life that lead us away from Christ, that lead us away from eternal life with him, that interrupt and distract us from working in the kingdom and sharing the gospel. He convinces us over and over again that we haven't changed ourselves one bit, but that he is working in us through his word to change us little by little every single day. And that is why he invites us to share his healing with every broken soul in this world. Because he knows that it is when we live our brokenness before the world, when we are honest and open about our failures and our fears, about our pain and our loss, and others see us applying the promises of God of forgiveness and eternal life, and finding in them comfort and hope and joy, that we will connect. We will connect with all those others who are broken sinners that God is seeking because Christ's blood has paid for them as well. And they will look to us to give them an answer for the hope that we have. And we will, as workers in God's kingdom, as sinners made perfect before God by the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will gently and humbly give them an answer for the hope that we have. The reason Jesus has always called sinners to work in his kingdom is because he first has called every one of those sinners to eternal life. How Matthew and all of his sinful friends must have marveled at Jesus' message for them. It was so completely different from everything else they were hearing from every other direction in their lives. The good people of the world kept pushing them away and telling them they were not good enough to associate with them, and not with God either, for that matter. They were condemned. They were thrown on the scrap heap and tagged as lost and worthless and beyond hope. But Jesus was often pointing out to the Pharisees, who inflicted all of that pain, all of that misery, all of that humility upon the sinners of their world, that there was very little difference between the Pharisees, the good people, and the sinners they looked down upon from God's perspective of looking at heart and mind in addition to action and word. The Pharisees thought that they were better than everyone else because they could keep an outwardly moral appearance, a pretense for everyone else. But Jesus told them that their thoughts of lust and their thoughts of hatred made them guilty of adultery and made them guilty of murder. And he wanted them to see that truly the only difference between them and the sinners they looked down upon, as he would also tell each one of us, the real difference between us and those that we could find around us, that we could look down upon and say, at least I've never done this. At least I've never sinned like so and so. That perhaps the only difference between us and them is that, one, we never had the opportunity to commit that sin, or number two, when we had the opportunity, we didn't have the courage to pull the trigger. Our minds, our hearts, our thoughts condemn us just as completely of our sins and our failures as every action, as every word, as every attitude demonstrated. We are thoroughly broken. We are thoroughly sinful. But Jesus knew all about this in everyone he encountered, and he knows this about us as well. And he embraced them, and he embraces us anyway. He was unconditional and unreserved in his offer of forgiveness that day. And he not only offered them forgiveness, but also perfection before God to anyone desiring it. He pointed every broken soul to trust in him, to supply them the godliness they needed, because not a one of them could ever find it within themselves. Having come to a knowledge of and a trust in Jesus as their Savior, having come to the realization that he was being perfect for them, that he was calling them to see him as the one promised by God so long ago, who would fulfill all of God's promises and foreshadowing in all of those Old Testament activities of the temple, all of the rituals and all of the sacrifices, that he would be the final one that would pay for every human sin, even their sins. Having come to this knowledge and trust, they could now go to work in his kingdom right away, for the very reason that they had been called by Jesus to live eternally with him. And what Jesus really was expecting of Matthew and all the other sinners that he dined with that evening and to whom he offered eternal life was simply that the very next day they would go back to their lives, take up their responsibilities, and live for him and through him while leaving their sinful pursuits behind. He expected them to now shape their lives by his love and his forgiveness, empowered by that same unconditional love, to make every one of their decisions day after day to his glory, to pattern their living after his perfect living, having given them the power of his perfection from the cross, so that they would reflect his love, his light, his presence in their lives as his disciples, showing the world their status as blood-bought souls and offering both the hope and the reality of that same status to every other sinful soul. But he didn't have that expectation of them so that they could look down on the rest of the world as they lived out their lives as forgiven and precious children of God adopted into his family. Just the opposite. Jesus' expectation is, was, and always will be that his disciples acknowledge their sins and their brokenness honestly and simply, and show others where to find the forgiveness and the healing and the wholeness that we all desire, that we all seek, that we all know that we need at the depth of our reality. So they will see Jesus and his offer of healing and wholeness through the realities of Christian disciples applying God's healing love to their own lives day after day. Jesus calls sinners to work in his kingdom day after day, anywhere and everywhere that they are, asking us to give of the reason for the eternal hope that we have as we face life's challenges and sorrows and sinful realities. And there's one simple reason why. Because in our living the reality of our brokenness and Jesus' perfection, of our sin and his healing love, we will attract others to us to whom Jesus desires to give this hope and this healing, and they don't possess it yet. But he has paid for them, and he loves them, and he desires us to show them that same compassion and love. Because they, too, are sinners, just like us. Amen.